Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Is the phone number you can call to get in on the conversation with us. We've had a lot of really good callers tonight. I'm always happy when I get to talk to somebody I've never spoken to before, and they've brought up really interesting topics. So if you're another person like that who wants to bring up a new conversation with us, 603-283-6160 is the phone number to call. And with you in the studio tonight, it's myself, Bonnie.
Jay.
Elizabeth.
And I did want to just go ahead and finish this article that we've been teasing all night from the Wall Street Journal. It says, Ukraine President Zelensky says, time not right for elections. Why are they spelling it with one Y when most time they spell it with two Ys? That's so weird. I looked it up today, so I made sure I didn't spell it right or wrong, but it's with one Y in this Wall Street Journal thing. Anyways. Says Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky ruled out holding elections next year. It's a whole year from now and he's already talking about this. Calling for political unity as his government seeks to retain Western support and public trust after a disappointing counteroffense. Zelensky said in a video address late Monday that now is not the time for elections, as Ukraine should direct its resources toward defense. The 45-year-old took office in 2019, meaning presidential elections should normally have been held early next year. But elections cannot take place in Ukraine under martial law, which was declared after Russia invaded in February last year. The reason this is interesting at all, if you weren't listening to the first segment when I kind of explained this, is people have been getting convinced that this war is a good idea, that Americans should send tax dollars to the tune of like $80 billion at a time to Ukraine because, well, these are people who believe in democracy. We want to uphold democracy in Ukraine. We don't want communist Russia to take over. We don't want to let them win. We need to uphold democracy. And democracy is a terrible idea, but if you do think democracy is a good idea and you did fall for that rhetoric, well, turns out the guy who was pushing that idea is now not allowing elections to take place while he's the president because he put the country under martial law because he needs unity right now. We couldn't possibly have the people vote for a new president right now. That is hilarious.
Yeah, I agree with you. And to, throw a little comment on there about Tom. I wanted to bring back that a little bit.
He called
Tom
last called segment.
Talking about the homeless and how like the zoning is making housing restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
So housing's really expensive, and the zoning has a little bit to do with it. But the thing is, with homelessness, you take these homeless people and you give them a house, and the house is destroyed, and there's like really nice shelters in places. In like LA and all around Phoenix, where it's like in some places it's basically a house and you have a room, but you can't use drugs, you can't be drunk, and these people are getting their dopamine hit from a substance, alcohol, meth, heroin, fentanyl, whatever they're into. So but the big thing is what's really fueling the homelessness, I believe the biggest problem, which is like 85% of the homelessness problem, is the welfare state. So, for example, if you know a first responder, like an EMT or a police officer or a firefighter, and you say, hey, have you ever given anyone Narcan? Have you ever picked up a dead body that overdosed? And if they're in any kind of city urban area, they're going to say, oh, yeah. And you ask them, were those people on welfare? And I've asked this to almost every first responder I come in contact with. This is always a question I ask them. I ask this, cops this all the time. And they're like, yeah, they are on welfare. They have an EBT card in their pocket, for example. Or when I did the report, there was even one guy from back home. He told me that somebody died, and like then he's got someone from an IRS agent calling him because he was he was a detective on a case, and after the woman had died, somebody had cashed her tax refund, and this guy he was like. Why does she get a tax refund? She doesn't work.
Yeah.
She's a junkie, you know, basically was like, and the IRS agent, well, I don't know, somebody cashed her tax refund like days after or weeks after she died or something. And one of the things I think the guy was calling to confirm about when she was actually dead. And he's like, oh yeah, it was cashed. And the thing is, it's the welfare state. These people are given just enough money. And the reason this is such a big problem in like San Francisco, Oregon, because, well, the weather's good there,
mm-hmm.
right? And and there's major incentives, and they feed the people, and they tolerate it, and they put up with it. And they're incentivizing it because, you know, but this is also what happens when Rome, right before Rome collapsed, you know, they're all drunk with pride. And you had uber rich people and totally poor, decimated people. And you know, this is where the U.S. empire is on the verge of collapse right now, I believe. And I hope it needs to collapse because it's bad.
And welfare has a lot to do with what I was talking about the government keeping people who may actually pull themselves up by their bootstraps from having any incentive to do it. They're like,
right.
Whatever, I can skirt by on welfare, make enough money to get my drugs and, you know, Cheetos or whatever and watch TV. So what do I care if I'm, not rich? I don't care.
And here's one crazy thing. Like a lot of the homeless people would rather get their $600 a month check from the state in California, for example, in San Francisco and in Venice Beach. You see, you know, videos of these guys getting interviewed all the time. They're like, oh, I get food. I get fed three times a day. They got Meals on Wheels coming over here feeding us. They got, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Some of these places, like Venice Beach, has set up porta potties for them. And it's just a huge incentive. And the thing is they don't want to go to the homeless shelter, just like Tom was saying, because you can't go to the homeless shelter drunk. You can't do drugs in the homeless shelter. They kick you out because their interest is doing drugs. And it's because they get the money from the state. So one of the well-known things is every time the welfare checks are basically recharged, there's a huge surge in drug sales because, you know, that's what they want to do. So between welfare and the begging and the robbing and the stealing, and now with this fentanyl where, you know, basically – you know, what would fit on the tip of a pencil, a sharp pencil tip of fentanyl, which is like, you know, not even, it's like milligrams or micrograms worth of this fentanyl will kill you, from what I understand. It's so powerful. So now they can lace a lot of these drugs with just a little bit of fentanyl so they can cheaply, you know, have cheaper drugs.
Make it stronger
you can just, you know, put a little fentanyl in that heroin, and now it's, you know, a $3 load of heroin, from what I understand, instead of a $15 load. And I had a crackhead uncle too. He used to tell me about these things, how you could get crack versus free base and all this stuff. But anyways, and even like my crackhead uncle, you know, it was welfare, it was disability that literally, actually what killed him is my grandmother sold the house, and then he basically took her debit card every day, and in 62 days or 48 days, you know, 60 some odd days, basically blew through about $45,000 and was dead. And, you know, my grandmother had like $800 left in her savings account.
Terrible. Wow.
And, yeah, it was crazy. And she had like almost 50 grand in there, and he went through it all. And then we have this homeless industrial complex. The amount of money that is spent on homelessness by like Boston, Chicago, Baltimore, L.A., Vancouver, Canada. Vancouver, there is a really good documentary by Lauren. I forget Lauren's last name. Darn it.
Lauren Southern?
Yes, Lauren Southern.
Oh, I know she's Canadian.
Yep. She actually just did another documentary called Infringe that Tim Cass is pushing about basically, you know, gun rights in America. But the homeless industrial contract, she and her documentary about this homelessness says that Vancouver spends billions with a B. Now, I said billions before, and so this is J. That can't be right. It's not billions of dollars. Well, it's in Canadian dollars. So there's like, you know, 10 Canadian dollars for an American dollar. you know, or it, I mean, it depends on how many bombs America's, you know, launching across the world. But it's really like exchange rates, like a dollar Canadian, a dollar American gets you like $1.25 or $1.50 Canadian. You know, there's a little difference. But anyways, they just spend tons of money and nothing happens. But this is just like what we started off the show with, talking about the reason the hospital is expensive, the reason prisons are expensive and schools are so expensive is because all the government contractors are charging, lucrative money for all of these supplies, 100x or 10 to 100x or even more than that, you know, what it goes for. And it's the same thing with the homeless industrial complex. You basically have all this money getting funneled to these nonprofits and these groups, and these guys all involved are just, giving it out to, contractors to do jobs like mow the lawn and, service to places for, stupid money.
So it profits people for some people to be poor and suffering and on welfare and homeless?
Yes, it profits. It profits the bureaucratic types, the people, the parasite industries. If you have a business and you take government jobs, you're a parasite. That's really the bottom line. So if you're a plumber and you work on the school, you work on the state house, you work on, any government buildings.
These pay way more than like a regular business.
You are a parasite. But also all those parasite, like plumbers, and like a plumber, if the government doesn't exist, that plumber is not going to go out of business because he has a skill, he's useful, he's going to, go work, for private entities. But what happens is, like, for example, the plumber that has the contract to, do all these, installations and upgrades and refurb and bring things up to EPA standards or, code compliance in the city buildings, all of his employees are donating to that particular city's. Like, I'm sure here in Keene, if it's a bunch of Democrats, you're going to find that, Joe's Plumbing, which I don't know even exists in Keene, that has the contract for the city of Keene or is an approved city of Keene, you're probably going to go and find that everyone who works for Joe's Plumbing donates to the Democrats. Or if it's a city that's run by Republicans, they donate to the Republicans.
Yeah.
They're both crooked. They really are. And but anyways, that's pretty much all I got about, this homelessness stuff.
California. Freaking cool to the homeless. Cartman. Well, moving on, we have this story from Elsbeth, or that Elsbeth brought in, from Wired.com. Oh, wait, that's the wrong one, sorry. Hold up.
It's a Washington Express one.
Yeah, but I sent myself the wrong one somehow. I don't even know how I did that. But we're going to talk about basically the fact that you didn't send it to me. The government of Oregon is getting rid of their graduation standards. You can just read it off your phone instead of sending it to me if you want.
Here, hold on.
So, we'll keep going here. So what she's talking about is that they're lowering the standards for education, which has been happening just my entire life. The kids aren't doing any good. They're not learning things. They're not passing tests. So what did they do? They just lower the standards.
Instead of doing better at educating people.
Yeah, and this article she has, speak up when you're ready over there, essentially what it sounds like is, it's horrible what it's talking about, but, The U.S. is constantly going down, down, down versus any of the other developed nations. I was just trying to look and see what the ranking was for the U.S. versus these other countries. But the U.S.
From them, I was homeschooled.
The U.S. keeps on going down, down, and down. And I'll tell you, like, if you pay attention to, like, the passport bro stuff, which these are these guys who are fed up with, modern-day feminist American women, so they're just going overseas,
mm-hmm.
Thailand, Philippines, Japan.
Mm-hmm.
One of my good friends, he's old enough to be my dad, this guy, he married a girl from Thailand, and she's awesome. Like, she runs half of his business. She's so smart. She's like, and she's so happy to be here, and she's just a really awesome woman. But what they're finding is that, like, you go to Japan, you go to Thailand, you go to the Philippines, and they're not woke. These women are traditional, they're smart.
White men right off the bat,
right,
because of something college.
Yeah, they're just, but the problem is our generations are going downhill, and a lot of it's because of this nonsense with these schools.
Well, this is from the Washington Examiner. It says, Oregon removes writing, reading, and math mastery from high school graduation requirements.
It so says, what's mastery? Mastering, well, writing, reading,
proving,
and math?
Right.
Proving proficiency.
Proving, okay.
Exactly. It says, the Oregon State Board of Education unanimously voted on Thursday. Oh, and I just wanted to say, the reason they're going to give for it is a little racist. The Oregon School Board or Board of Education is being a little racist here in what they're going to say. It says, they voted unanimously on Thursday to remove proof of mastery in reading, writing, and math in order to graduate from high school until 2029. And honestly, I'm going to be honest. I think that it's kind of if you're going to have public school, if you're going to force people to be in public school, I think it's good to remove these things. Like, make it easier for people to get out of there. But since you're forcing people to pay for public school and it exists at all, it's kind of a bad thing in another way you look at it because, well, if people are paying for this because they believe it's going to make society better by people being educated, well, you're not doing that and people still have to pay for it. But I also think it's just good that people might be able to get out of school faster and actually go start doing something productive and, I just don't think the government should force anyone to do anything, even if it's prove you can read.
And it doesn't even matter, honestly, if they have those tests or not, because they weren't passing in the first place. It was like less than 50% of the kids in Oregon in the 2017 graduation year. Less than 50% of them proved to be proficient in mathematics, and only 50% proved to be 53% proved to be proficient in reading and writing. How are there 47% of your kids can't read or write in 12 years that they've been in school? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what's the motive of, you know, removing these mastering, these mastery requirements? So one of the things, if you ever want to look for a motive, if you're just like curious because you're like, why would they do this?
Mm-hmm.
Follow the dollars. So the schools get paid based on, and this is speculation, I don't know that this is, like, how it actually works, but one of the ways they get their money is based on how many kids graduate. So they constantly want to make it easy
to
graduate.
That's why they treat it like it's the worst sin when you're in school and you get called into the principal's office and your teacher is starting to say, so have you been skipping? And I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. And he's like, you know what I'm saying. You've been skipping. And I was like, I don't know what that is. Is that like a word for some kind of like crime, like some slang word? And he was saying skipping.
Oh, wait, are you talking about sloughing or whatever?
No, that's he just had an accent, and I sincerely didn't know what he was saying.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's just like a silly story. But they treat it like worse than if they found out you were smoking crack on campus, as long as you're attending classes. Why? Because they get paid for every day that you're there.
Same thing with DCYF. They get paid by the federal government to do what these called assessments. And in our case, I said, I don't want DCYF doing an assessment. But the local police, the chief of police, he can do an assessment because the guy's got, like, kids.
And,
I don't want some girl who had to, basically lower herself to becoming a social worker because there wasn't work in gender studies, what she went to school for. That's like, 20 something years old that doesn't have any kids.
SSRIs, obese, no kids.
And,
purple hair.
And whatever. Doing an assessment, and I also don't want DCYF getting $6,000 out of the Social Security fund for doing this assessment. So I said, in the best interest of justice, I told the chief of police in town, I go, why don't you guys do it? And he's like, okay, cool, we'll do it. And then DCYF said we can't do it because they want the money.
Yeah, they don't care about actually interviewing your kid and making sure it's okay, your kid's okay. They care about checking their checklist that get them funding.
So attendance and graduation has a lot to do with how much funding the school gets. So this is why they keep on lowering the bar. And what it comes down to is accreditation and credibility. So like the idea that you have a college diploma, high school diploma had some meaning, 75 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When I graduated high school in 1998, I don't even know where my diploma is. I never looked at it. I don't care.
True. I don't know where mine is either.
It's absolutely useless.
I don't know where my valedictorian medal is either.
And the thing is, what kids should be doing young kids should be doing is they should be skill building like crazy. They should be stacking the skills, honing those skills, making those skills awesome. So, like, you know, there's no reason why if you have the opportunity, like, to learn how to be an auto mechanic, and you're a 13-year-old right now or a 12-year-old, and you just start, like, you know, basically apprenticing as a mechanic, for example, the future for auto mechanics is going to be awesome. I mean, even right now, if you're an auto mechanic, you know, you're worth $100 an hour if you have all the tools in your own shop, no problem. You want to go work for, like, a Ford dealership, those guys are making $45-$50 an hour. They're getting full benefits. They're getting really good hours because, like, for example, they're all so desperate. Any of these trucking companies, car dealerships, you know, you work in nice, beautiful, heated air conditioning garages.
Why are they more desperate now than normal?
All the mechanics are old. Like, I know, I have
people
a friend.
People don't want to work.
Young kids don't want to work. They're not interested in driving cars. Like, most of the city urban liberal types are just not interested in cars.
And I feel like if you started letting kids, I used to think about this all the time as a kid. I was like, when I grow up, I'm definitely going to be in church still. And I want to run a youth group, but I want to let all the kids tell me what their special gifts are that they want to hone, and, like, the artistic kids can do their art. That's like worshiping God. So, in, like, a kid who was interested in mechanics, you could get them, like, funding to be able to go learn how to do that. I used to think about this all the time because I used to think it's just silly that I have to sit here and learn how to do math. And I don't know why I specifically thought about it during youth. Well, it's just because worshiping God is using your hands that spirits don't have, you know, to use things, to do an action in the world. Like, whether it's like your gift is singing and that's what you love to do and that's what you want to learn to do. I just think that kids have that interest and they're going to be 10 times more motivated to learn the thing that they want. And then as soon as you turn like 20, you suddenly have just like all this responsibility and other things that you kind of forget that you, like, when you're a kid, you loved trucks and you wanted to learn how to be a mechanic, and like you just aren't going to be as good.
Yeah. When kids are thirsty for whatever, like my 2-year-old son, you know, he loves, you know, just helping me work. Same thing with my, you know, daughter. They just love helping me do farm things. They want to work. They want to be with dad. They want to do whatever dad's doing.
Yeah.
They're thirsty for this stuff. You have to give them that drink. Mm-hmm. You got to let them have it. Yeah, and it builds their creativity. It gives them desire. It helps them feel good. Like, these kids that spend all of their formative years playing sports ball versus, you know, the farm kid who doesn't really play sports ball because he's more interested in tractor pulls. So they got, you know, a lawnmower, and a kid's like 6 years old, and they take him to the county fair, and they let him run the old lawnmower in the county fair, and he gets a massive dopamine hit from it, and he's so excited about it. So this kid's been playing with tractors and lawnmowers, working on it.
He's probably not getting concussions every 5 weeks.
By the time he's 30 years old, his house is bought and paid for because he's a mechanic. Meanwhile, the guy who was playing sports ball thought he was going to get a scholarship, has $500,000 in, you know, student loans, and is living with mom still.
603-283-6160. We have one more segment for tonight. You can call in with whatever's on your mind. It's Free Talk Live. It's 603-283-6160. More coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Israeli forces have reported that a hostage abducted by Hamas has been found dead in a structure near Gaza's main hospital. The victim was taken from her home on October 7th during Hamas's attack on Israel. Additionally, Israeli forces discovered weapons and grenades in the same structure where her body was found. President Biden said during the AIPAC CEO summit in San Francisco that a stable relationship between the U.S. and China is beneficial for the world economy.
It makes sense to work together. We've committed to work together. We're going to continue our commitment to diplomacy, avoid surprises, prevent misunderstandings.
TikTok influencer and anti-Israeli activist Lynn Atkins told her thousands of followers to read bin Laden's letter, and her video garnered over 800,000 views. The letter called for revenge against the Jewish people. Dave Collins, USA News.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That you control. 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call. 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Jay.
And Elizabeth.
And we're talking about this story from the Washington Examiner. And we're just going to get right into it because we don't have any callers. So that means if you have something on your mind, just call right in. You'll be the top of the list. The article's title here is Oregon Removes Writing, Reading, and Math Mastery from High School Graduation Requirements. It says the board, the school board, had voted unanimously to do this. The board argued that requiring all students to pass one of several standardized tests or to create an in-depth assignment their teacher judged as meeting state standards was a harmful hurdle for students of color, disabled students, or those learning English as a second language. And that's the part I said is just racist. Like, why is it harder for students of color than white kids to show that they're proficient in math, reading, and writing?
Yeah, and I saw the same thing on a different article from OPB.org. It's just that they were embarrassed that non-Caucasian kids were failing.
Who was embarrassed? The board?
Just like the state of Oregon.
So it's definitely not a racist thing. It is not a race thing whatsoever.
What is it?
It's a cultural thing. And the culture is what I call city-urban liberal type. So if you start looking at, like, the actual demographics of what's going on here, so if you, it's all city. It's really these concentrated big cities, mostly with Democrat, leftist liberal type policies that are having this issue. It is also happening in a lot of other areas that aren't quite so left, because the Department of Education is like an octopus that just controls all of these little schools and big schools everywhere around. So whether you're in, you know, Podunk, New Hampshire, or you're in Manhattan, New York, it's the same Department of Education that's sending all of this, you know, critical race theory, all these things to sort of, you know, crush the kids before they even, like, it like demoralizes them when you start saying, oh, you're going to be, like, there's kids on college campuses everywhere are quite literally like, well, Black people should, you know, get money because, you know, because their ancestors might have been a slave and they can't make it in the world. Even like, you'd be like, well, we can't have, you know, ID for, require people to have ID for voting because they say Black people, and some of them say poor people can't go get IDs. Well, if they have an EBT card as an ID, you know, now they're getting those. But the thing is, it's a cultural thing, and it's the culture of children being raised in these urban areas. So if you're living in an urban area, you're probably not getting your food from the farm. If you're a mom pregnant with a kid, you're probably, you know, you're breathing in the worst air. You're drinking city water. Your water just got fluoride, chlorine, all kinds of other crap in it. Probably comes from an above ground reservoir or a river. They got to do all this stuff to it. Then you have other elements such as, you know, a lot of these people are just buying the narratives. They're getting all of the childhood vaccines or getting the vaccines while they're pregnant. The mom probably had a whole bunch of vaccines, you know, and all these toxins and heavy metals from, you know, and plastics now. Oh, man, the plastics that, you know, moms are consuming because of the Uber Eats, because of all everything in the food is processed with plastic. All of your commercial pork has tons of microplastics in it because they basically literally take trash and feed it to these pigs in these big commercial hog facilities. And, you know, they literally, just take all this, like, throwaway bread, for example, is in the plastic bags, and they just cook it up hot, and they're like, oh yeah, all plastic burns off, and then they feed it to the pigs. And like, this is all like approved stuff because they heat it up super hot, but there's a whole bunch of microplastics in it. And then all these people are using microwaves to cook all their, you know, microwavable food. The babies are born, they're given vaccines, they're being fed formula. Like, Similac is basically Coca-Cola that's milk flavored. In fact, they gave us like a case of, you know, like a $35 case of Similac when we were at the hospital, and we're like, we don't want it. And they're like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's, you don't get charged for it. It's free. So you know, we just dropped it off at a food pantry. I actually wanted to throw it out. I didn't even want to feed it to my pigs. And so the but even that stuff is all like, and the whole push that mom shouldn't breastfeed, the whole, you know, put your kid in daycare while you go out and work, you know, kind of thing, which is kind of happening to the urban, you know, I mean, the more suburban type families. But definitely in a city, being born in a city and being raised in a city urban area and even a suburban area, like, everything's just stacked against you
for your intelligence immediately. Getting a hit as
well for your intelligence. So when you're born, you have all the intelligence you're going to get. Jordan Peterson explains this quite well. He's like, well, you can't really increase intelligence that much. You pretty much got all the intelligence you're going to get when you're born, but it's pretty easy to diminish intelligence through malnutrition. And, you know, a big, you know, so malnutrition is your 60 or 70 pound 3-year old that's fat and obese is in America is malnourished. If you look at the malnourished people are fat in America, and it's because they're getting fed a whole bunch of empty calories, and their body needs to make this fat to put all these toxins somewhere because bodies can't detox. There's all kinds of problems. And so it's a cultural thing. So the IQs of the kids in the city are being destroyed by the city and by what happens in the city. And that's really the bottom line.
I totally believe that. And I know what you're saying, but I'm mostly saying that the school board is the ones being racist, saying like, the statistics they're looking at are probably based on what you're saying, that like people of color are more likely to be in an urban area. And that's why the statistics look the way they do. But the school board is being racist in their response, like, well, since Black people can't do well on tests, we're just going to drop tests instead of, you know, doing, I mean, not that I would want the school board to be the one trying to fix all these problems Jay is talking about, but they don't, like, offer any actual solution. Instead, they
The bottom line solution is stop subsidizing poor people. Because when you subsidize something, you create more of it.
Right. You give people an incentive to stay poor. But I'm going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. David in New Mexico, what's on your mind, David?
Lots of stuff. I want to ask Jay about horses, but I got a couple other things. Valedictorian, huh? That's cool. Yeah. I was only number 4 in my class.
There was only 8 people in my class, but I was valedictorian, so I get to say
that. I didn't care.
Here I was trying to lie with statistics. There was only 46 people in my class, and I was number 4.
That probably is actually better than mine, even though I was valedictorian. I don't know. I can't do the math off the top of my head, because I was valedictorian of 8 people.
What? The valedictorian can't do radio math?
Yeah.
Come on now. Try harder.
In the math class that I took last, like my senior year of high school and also the last semester of 11th grade, they let us take tests in groups. And, like, you could easily use your phone and cheat. You could use calculator.
I didn't even have a math teacher in my 11th grade year.
Yeah, because they fired
so I failed and had to take accounting, which I was actually pretty good at, but...
Yeah, we're sisters.
You guys, yeah, cool. And when I was in that high school where I graduated 4th out of 46, you were talking about earlier the money that they get for attendance. And my principal actually confronted me about I was a senior, now 17, then 18, and I would take off for anywhere from one day to a whole week of high school. I would either drive 150 miles up to the city, St. Paul, Minneapolis, to the University of Minnesota, if I had to do actually go to classes, or if I decided to take a test for the day, I would get in my airplane, 17 years old, and I would fly myself 150 miles up, take the test, and come back. But I still missed a day of high school, and the principal confronted me because he was mad because they were missing out on the revenue that they would have gotten if I had attended.
Exactly. And they get way more mad about that. Seriously, more mad than if they found out you got in a fight or were doing drugs on property. Seriously.
So, yeah. I never got called in the principal's office one time except because I was skipping class to go to college.
I'm also just a little shocked right now. You're from Minneapolis, David? I thought you were from New Mexico.
Yeah, Minneapolis. It's like Indianapolis, only it's Minneapolis. Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I thought it was Minneapolis.
Huh?
I thought it was Minneapolis.
Yeah. No. You don't have. You can use the D or don't use the D. Either way, it's your option. It's either Minneapolis or Minneapolis.
Okay.
Your choice.
Well, I'm just shocked. Like, you have a voice. Like, you sound like you're from New Mexico to me. You have this, like, accent.
That's because I'm a good mimic, and I've lived here a long time, and I'm really good at imitating all of the low functioning individuals that live here in New Mexico. I imitate them really well.
Well, thanks so much for your call, David. It's a pretty interesting story. Just kind of backing up what I was saying about how they go way freaking crazy if you start skipping school, not because they care about your education or anything, or else they wouldn't be so mean to you about it. They care because you are not in school, and that takes away from the money they get paid. That's why when I was skipping classes and got taken into the vice principal's office, and he was saying, I heard you've been skipping, and I didn't know what the heck he meant, and then I obviously figured out what he meant. They didn't, you know, extra teach me to make up for the classes I skipped. No, they put me in ISS, in school suspension, where I was technically checking a box that I was there, but learning nothing and sitting in silence all day.
And I mean, like, if you're in, a private school, do they care as much about?
I don't know. Never
like you skipping and stuff like that? Because that's the main reason that I even brought up the Oregon thing, is just because don't send your kids to public schools because they come out stupid.
Yeah.
Only a fool would allow their enemy to educate their children.
Maybe some people don't think the government is their enemy, Jay.
Well, okay.
They think the government is the one who's
giving
them money.
I can tell you 100% of pretty much every teacher's union, 100% of the members vote and or donate and support the Democratic Party. So, what kind of people are donating diabolically evil people, donating to diabolically evil people like Nancy Pelosi, like Chuck Schumer, like the Biden crime family, like the Clinton crime family, you know, like these people, like, you know, can you call Bernie Sanders diabolically evil? Nah, not really. I mean, he's like, you know, at best, he is ignorantly evil. But, you know, these other guys are diabolically evil people. If you look at their particular, you know, record and what they've done and, you know, all the things that they're into. And so and the Democrat Party has just become so unhinged and off the wall.
And they don't have principles anymore. I remember just now what I was going to say, like, two and a half hours ago at this point, when I said, oh, I had something to say about that, but I forgot. I remember what it is. It was, you said that there was riots out in front of the DNC for pro-Palestinian protesters, and I was just going to say, the thing about Democrats is none of them have any actual principles. Like, if you're
or wisdom.
Violence.
They lack wisdom, too.
Right. If you're committing violence against people because you're on the side of Palestinians and you're against the violence that is happening there, that makes no freaking sense. It makes sense to protest peacefully if you are upset about the violence happening in Gaza. Absolutely. But it makes no sense. You have no principles and you're not an intelligent person if you're protesting and hurting people in favor of peace in Palestine. It makes no sense. And that's what all basically Democrats are, because they went from being the anti-war wing of the same bird to the
pro-war
when it benefits them wing.
Well, and it's what the algorithm tells them. But a real funny thing is, if you ever go to like a leftist-type protest and you start asking these guys what they're actually protesting, they can't explain it to you.
Have you ever seen in Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree where he goes and asks a protester what he's protesting about, and his teacher who, like, started the protest walks up and says, we're not talking about, we're doing a silent protest. And he wanted to answer, the guy started to answer Derek J, and then his teacher walks up and says, nope, sorry, he's not going to speak to you anymore. And he was like, he fell in line. He was like, we're doing a silent protest, like a NPC.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but if you go to, like, any of these, like, anti-mask, anti-vaccine, anti-mandate, you know, like, what they would call right-wing, but it's not right or left-wing, because there are so many people that got converted from leftists to libertarians and from right-wingers to libertarians because of the scamdemic here. But you go to, an anti-mandate rally, and everybody can tell you exactly what they're protesting, what's going on. They understand the stuff.
Yeah.
You go to any of these lefty rallies, they don't know what's going on. They're just a bunch of drones following in line.
And they think they're cool to be there. Like,
I saw this one Ben Shapiro thing on TikTok, and it was, he was at this college and he was speaking, and this girl came up to the mic and she was supposed to ask a question. And all she said was, from the river to the sea, and then put the mic down,
drop.
and then walked away. And everybody was like, whoa, great job. And then he was like, wait, what river? And she was like, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh, that's hilarious.
That exactly proves it. There was a Trump thing, 2019, I guess, in Manchester. I was just moving out of Manchester, so I went down to this Trump rally, and there was these anti-Trumpers, and so I started talking to them, and they were like, and so one guy, you know, I'm carrying my sidearm, and the one guy's like, oh, you know, guns are bad, blah, 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 and I'm talking some sense into these guys, and I said, and they're like, is that an automatic gun? And I'm like, well, it's semi-automatic. Each time you pull the trigger, it fires around after you charge it. And he's like, they didn't have automatic weapons when they wrote the Constitution. I said, they didn't have email, fax, you know, photocopiers when they wrote the Constitution.
They didn't have Bitcoin when they wrote the money transmission laws.
And, yeah. So anyways, so a whole bunch of these guys were like, oh, that's a good point that they didn't have copiers and, you know, photocopiers, for example, and printers when they wrote the Constitution. So does that mean that those aren't included in, you know, freedom of speech? So so these guys all start listening to me. There's like eight of them. These two big dudes, big black guys, were like intimidation muscle. They come over and they're wearing these, like, whatever group they're with shirt, and they start like getting between me and these other guys. I go, hey, what's up with these thugs here trying to intimidate me? And I says, guys, I got to walk away because I don't start fights with, you know, with people who are, you know, agent provocateurs. And, you know, so I just walked away. And I actually videotaped a whole bunch of that. But nobody, I went and talked to like 25 people that were protesting Trump, and not a single one of them could tell me anything that was actually like, what they were, what their stance was. They were literally just there. Another time when in 2012, I was in Manchester on a horse, and a guy comes up to me holding a Romney sign. He goes, "What do they pay you to come here with a horse?" He's like, "I got horses. We got horses back home." I'm like, and I'm like, "Nothing. We just came here on our own." He's like,
"What
wow."
What does he mean? He thought the government was paying you to be on a horse?
No, he thought Ron Paul campaign was paying us, because the Romney campaign was paid him and all his buddies, and they were busting him up from Boston College, and they paid him with, $100.
They
paid him with gift cards.
So he just assumed you were also doing
this. Yeah. He's like, "Well, yeah, what's it pay to do this with the horse? How much are you getting paid?" And he didn't even know who Ron Paul was. Is Ron Paul paying you? Is Ron Paul campaign? He's like, "Yeah, Romney's paying us." And so these guys all start telling us how we're getting paid by the Romney campaign to come here and do this. And I'm like, And my friend Dave, who was with me, goes, "Isn't that illegal?" And he goes, "I don't know. They just give us a gift card at the end of the day. It was like a gift card for $100 to Applebee's." He says, "Yeah, we just get to pick whatever gift card we want." He was like, "You know," he goes, "a couple weeks ago I got an Applebee's gift card. I don't know what I'm going to get today, but you just pick whatever we want."
That's so funny. I feel like the same thing was happening during the protests where Joa got arrested in August 2022. There were a bunch of people who were there who were pro Don Bolduc. And half of them seemed a little questionable, like they were just repeating the same slogan over and over again, didn't really care. But a lot of them seemed to really care. They would argue with you. They had, and I'm not saying that, and Jay is not saying, "Oh, Trump and the Republicans are like really good." We're not saying that. We're just saying that it's an interesting thing you can point out. The Republicans ones, usually they know what they believe, at least, and they actually believe something. And then the Democrat side, they obviously don't care at all. They're there just to be in a picture holding a sign that says Maggie Hassan and screaming her name, then walk away as soon as it's over because they're getting paid a gift card or something.
And I mean, like, back in like the Kanye days when everybody was like, "Oh, Kanye's so like anti-Semitic." If you would have said something like that one girl said in those days, you would have been a bigot, but now you're like a hero for saying that.
Kanye, I remember in 2001, he dropped an album that was called College Dropout.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to that, which I actually bought it because, just heard some about, but basically it was all about college is a scam.
Yeah.
It's all a scam.
Yeah, that's a good album.
Yeah.
So, Jay, you wanted to tell us about, before the end of the show, you wanted to tell us about your code for Anarchapulco?
So, yes, Anarchapulco is happening February 11th through 16th in Acapulco. The hotels and the Secret Garden and the place that all of it's happening at is they are saying that they are going to be all ready by Christmas to be open, because Christmas is a huge deal for Mexican culture.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Mexicans from all over Mexico go to Acapulco. It's a big time Christmas thing.
Nice.
So they're going to be all set for that. So, and that's February 11th through 16th. You should come to, it's Anarchapulco Reborn. There's going to be a whole bunch of speakers there. Go on the website, anarchapulco.com. And if you click on tickets and you use a promo coupon, J, that's J-A-Y, you will receive 10% off your Anarchapulco ticket. Me and my family will be there. You'll meet me, my wife, my kids. Actually, a whole bunch of people from New Hampshire are going down. There might even be a convoy, from what I understand.
Nice.
And,
you're going to drive?
No, I am. Oh. I'm not driving. We're going to fly. I'm not driving with two kids, 3,800 miles or whatever it is. So anyways, and I'm going to be talking about investing in our posterity, and I am hopefully, we haven't nailed this down yet, but hopefully I'm going to be doing an actual blacksmithing workshop. That is the only thing I haven't gotten, because I haven't been able to talk to the guy where we were going to possibly do that, who had some of the equipment, since this hurricane that they had down there. But anyways, and then there's another event that's being basically put on. It's kind of like Fork Fest, but it's called AgriForco, and that is the 16th through the 25th, and I think I'm pretty sure that we're going to be there for that also, which is going to be more of like hanging out, getting to know people, not quite so busy. There's going to be a bunch of decentralized things happening, and hopefully AgriForco is where I get to do a bunch more of the blacksmithing with people, because I really, really want people who come there, especially with kids, even adults, to just experience it. If you never manipulated steel before with a hammer, it's just a lot of fun, and everybody should do that.
Interesting. Well, thanks so much for sharing that. I'm going to finish off the story that we had started here. It says about Oregon dropping their requirement for people to actually learn anything to be in school. Vicky Lopez Sanchez said, we haven't suspended any sort of assessments. The only thing we are suspending is the inappropriate use of how those assessments were being used. I think that is really the best interest of Oregon students. It says, opponents of the new order argued that removing the requirement devalues an Oregon diploma. The opponents argued that helping students with low academic skills through extra instruction in writing and math has helped them. However, supporters claim that forcing students to spend extra time on schoolwork eliminates their opportunity to take an elective and does not translate to how they perform after graduation. We are unable to ethically make a different decision at this point. It also is unethical for us to continue to require this when we know it can continue to cause harm and has no change in how students are performing. I just feel like this is all such a, it's all such a cop-out. Like, they don't want to have to do any better, so they're really trying to sound like kind of like stuff we've been saying tonight, like the kids would be better off doing things they're interested in. But no, I really don't think that that's the same thing as taking a theater class in your stupid public school that sucks and isn't even as good as, you know, somebody who went and joined the theater in their hometown, you know, and was making money doing it.
And I mean, like, the only reason you're in that theater class is because your friends are in it.
Yeah, no one actually... I mean, not no one, but I feel like people don't actually learn extremely good skills in public school anymore, and these people are just making up an excuse to get rid of these tests because it somehow benefits them.
The powers to be don't want people with skills, because skilled people, people who have skills and competence, they get this other thing called, and confidence, they have another thing called competence. Hmm. And competent people don't need government.
Right.
They don't need to be told what to do. They can lead their own way. They can blaze their own path, and they can thrive.
They can survive.
But when you dumb them down and remove their confidence, you get what we have here now. Lowering the bar, the dumbing down of the American people.
Yeah, they're like, we don't really need you to be really good at math and all that stuff in order to, you know, fill out your form that gives you welfare.
Yeah, we don't need you to be intelligent at all. We don't need you to be able to think for yourself. We just need you to be able to take orders when we send you to Russia and Ukraine.
And like Jay was saying, basically, if you think for yourself, you may end up realizing you don't need them. You don't need the government in order to survive. You don't need the government in order to work with your neighbors and friends and family to make a living for yourself. It's Free Talk Live. You can go to freetalklive.com to learn more. We'll see you again tomorrow. Peace.
Taxation is theft.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage, and you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.